Shanxi mature vinegar, or Shanxi Lao Chen Su in Chinese, is brewed from a combination of sorghum, peas, and barley. It is dark in color and has a particularly musty, rich flavor, which is irreplaceable in Chinese cuisine. And I'm personally, just like Niu Honglin, a fan of Shanxi Lao Chen Su. So this renowned local specialty of Shanxi province has recently been seen in kind of a bad light. As a recent report found, low quality and massively overpriced vinegar in the ancient city of Pingyao, located in Shanxi province, bearing that revered name. According to that report, a bottle of blending vinegar with the tag of Shanxi Mature Vinegar can be sold at 50 times higher than its original price. Mm. Yeah, there's actually a lot of information given there as, blending vinegar. Well, that's one thing.
Does that mean like a mixture of other vinegars?
Well, okay, Niu Honglin, why don't we start with you? What do you think about this news?
Well, when it comes to vinegar, I feel like I'm a specialist here that I can talk about.
Yes,
it.
Yes, you are.
Because I've been spending my whole growing up life in Shanxi. So in my head, in my mind, vinegar is supposed to be the kind of ingredient that is full of the fragrance of food, of, you know, staple food. You have this special taste. You have this special feeling about this vinegar. But when I started to travel around the country, when I started to live in other places of China, I realized a lot of other vinegars has this strange, for me, it's strange taste of chemical ingredient in it. Mm. So you have this very pure sour, but the pure sour to me is not really, really good because I need the mixed kind of feeling, and that comes from a Shanxi person. I have that, and the reason I explain, I was trying to explain so hard about it is because I believe for a lot of other people, let's say if you grow up in Beijing, you might not find the chemical taste that strange, or you might adore the pure taste of sour. You think, you know, vinegar is supposed to be sour, and that is why this is easy for some local vendors to, in a way, counterfeit this special product because not everybody has the experience or, in a way, ability to identify which is the Shanxi mature vinegar and which one is not.
That's a really good point there in terms of knowing the taste of different vinegars. I, unfortunately, are one of those people who can't really tell the difference. Mm. To me, vinegar has always been really sour, but it goes really well with certain salads, depending on the oil and the seasoning. But yeah, it's interesting to know what the difference is.
Yeah, and there's at least four renowned types of vinegar in China.
Sure.
My favorite is the Shanxi Lao Chen Su from Niu Honglin's home province.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And yeah, okay, if we can just segue a little bit and talk about eating and food and the beauty of this kind of mature black vinegar, because actually I don't see this outside of China so much. And Tony, you're not supposed to put this in salads. But it's okay if that's, you know, your personal preference, but usually like how people who like food here in China would do is that it is the perfect companion with any kind of dough product.
Okay.
I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like with all kinds of noodles, dumplings,
and meat for me.
Oh, and meat for Niu Honglin. And yes, and sweet and sour pork. Sometimes you can put the vinegar in, but during the cooking process. So this is a really important ingredient. And there's this really potent taste that's very strong. And it's long-lasting, at least for me. And when I dip my dumpling into the vinegar and eat it, I sort of can feel it travel in my body, and it's a really,
wow,
really great feeling.
Really, really in depth.
And some people might find my description quite horrifying, but I promise you, I think if you have, you need a little bit of a delicate palate to really appreciate it. And because I grew up having proper Shanxi black vinegar as well. I didn't never went to Shanxi province actually, but we had a good friend who always brought the local specialty to us. One of my parents' good friends. So once you've had the good stuff, you cannot put up with anything substandard.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's just all kinds of vinegar in China. We being such a vast nation with and a long history and a complicated understanding of all kinds of cooking, cuisine, that all fall under this big hat called Chinese cuisine.
Yeah, and I feel like since I've been here, I've had certain dishes, and you mentioned dumplings. I've gone to restaurants in Beijing where I've had dumplings, and I dipped it into these different sauces, and I believe one of them was a vinegar sauce, but I'm not sure if it was high quality or if it was the Shanxi vinegar or what. I just know that it was vinegar, and it had a different taste, because in the West, we typically use vinegar for certain dishes, mainly salads. We mix it with different oils and seasonings to make a salad dressing. But in China, it's used in a lot of different ways.
Yes, and that is why if you go travel to other places in the country and want to buy some specialties from local places, you might get the wrong stuff, the fake stuff, because you don't necessarily know which should be the real one. For example, we have another very important and famous brand that is called Dezhou Braised Chicken, Dezhou Paji. So that is also supposed to be a kind of chicken that it's very tasty, a little bit salty, and also the bones are so crushed already. So finely cooked.
What do you mean by crushed?
It's finely cooked so that you can chew the bone. It's not that hard anymore.
Oh, wow.
That's supposed to be very good, but it's possible that you get some fake ones, because according to Shandong Business Daily, chicken products from various manufacturers enter into Shandong's market with the label Dezhou Braised Chicken. It's not, you know, exactly the same shape or color or taste, and you cannot identify. And also, if you travel to some other place, for example, Hebei province, and you were looking for Lü Rou Huo Shao, which is the donkey meat burger.
Donkey meat burger.
Yes, and if vendors or local merchants use like mule meat, horse meat, or pork to serve you as donkey meat, it's possible that you cannot identify them, the good ones from the bad ones. And that is why I think it's very important to have the authority to give them proper labels to make sure customers are getting what they're looking for, because it's hard for us to identify, and it is not our job to identify, because the reason we buy those things is because they're specialties. We have never tried them before. We want to know what is the best local stuff.
You know, I had a frustrating experience similar to what we're talking about here in terms of products not being authentic. And it wasn't in China. It was actually in South Korea. And where I was living, they touted about their red ginseng. And I think in Chinese that's called renshen, I believe.
Yes, renshen.
And so I bought this container and I was really happy about it. It was quite expensive, actually. And when I took it to work and I showed my colleagues, they kind of laughed and they said, oh, actually, Tony, this is actually, now we know that this is a very fake brand that you just bought. And the real one is a little
bit
cheaper.
Very fake brand, huh?
Yeah. And I remember feeling so upset because it was expensive. And, how was I supposed to know that this one's real or this one's fake? And it's just, as a consumer, you just get to a point where you're just really frustrated and you want to know, like, what is real and why aren't there, certain policies put in place to keep these fake companies from producing these products?
Yeah, and too bad that this expensive fake company was already blacklisted. But as tourists, or people who are not locals,
right,
we just don't know.
Don't know.
So, well, let's look at the situation here in China. Then, is it so simple that we just need a good policy? What policy should that be?
It's a really good question. I know back home, we have a lot of certain laws in terms of protecting certain products. And so they have different names. You got to know the difference, because you have copyrights and then you have trademarks, which are a little bit different, which protect different things. For example, they forbid certain words and marks and symbols, you know, to protect consumers from misrepresentation. And then you also have patents, which have a different property. So it's just, there's a lot of laws. And if you have one, it doesn't necessarily protect you from everything else. Yeah. So it's just, it's really complicated, but necessary.
Yes, and the situation is similar here in China. Actually, we have this GI, which it's short for geographic identity. So that is a special kind of brand that you can put on your product if you have already filed all, you've gone through all the paperwork, you've proved that your product is with certain quality, characteristics, historical origin, and close relationship with the place of origin. And that is why it's called geographic identity. It has to do with the place that the product is produced. For example, for Shanxi Lao Chen Cu, so this mature vinegar, it has a really long history of being produced in Shanxi province, and people started to make, you know, local slangs talking about if a Shanxi person is robbed or, you know, being attacked, they might give you all their wallet or everything, but they will not give you their vinegar bottle. So that you have that kind of sayings all around China. So that is why this special kind of vinegar is closely linked with Shanxi province. It's part of the Shanxi culture, and that is why this kind of product is the product that can apply for a GI, a geographic identity. But the situation is a bit complicated here in China, because if you think about it, China is a vast country, and you have so many different places producing different product based on different geographic conditions in that special area. I personally know a special kind of millet called Qingzhou Huang. It's a kind of millet also in Shanxi province, but actually I know that the special kind of millet is only good in a very small area of a land in that county with a certain kind of water when you grow it. Mm-hmm. So only this very, very small amount of millet can or deserve that name. But we can see that brand or that product is being sold all over the market, all over the country in different markets. So in a way, even though you have already applied for that brand, you've already give your product a really great name, it is possible when you expand your industry, you are in yourself dilute the quality of that product yourself.
That's a really good point. And you touch on some really, a couple of pretty complicated concepts for me, actually. The notion of authenticity, for example. And when you are mass producing something, and if there is national demand, meaning that people from all over the country want this product, or global demand, let's say if I don't know if it has achieved this end, possibly in the future, if one day Shanxi black mature vinegar garners global attention, then you could possibly want customers from all over the world that want their hands on this, then it means you need to increase production. And what does that mean for authenticity, flavor, all that stuff? And also, in terms of copyright protection, in China, we see similar laws, but I don't think they're doing that much in this regard. And in a way, I can't blame the authorities so much, because it's complicated. Why? For example, when we talk about all these, you know, really famous brands now in China, Shanxi product, Dezhou product, these products that have the name of a locality, a geographic location attached in front of it, in itself, it feels like it can be used loosely. Let's say, you know, I'm a Beijingren, right? There are plenty of Beijingrens out there, you know. Can I categorize myself as, you know, I am the Beijingren that is so special? So so there is this this complication when it comes to implementation, I guess. Because in theory, any vinegar that's produced within the confines of Shanxi province, it kind of qualifies. Any chicken that's produced in Dezhou qualifies to be Dezhou special chicken. So
I think it has a lot to do a little bit with the brand, though, and how this product is marketed. For example, the, you know, the label and the way everything looks. If you have two identical products, but they're different, then I think that's where you run into a problem. If one product is marketed as being from Shanxi and the other one is as well, but they have different logos and they have different claims, then I think it's okay. But if one owner is trying to make his product look exactly like the other, I think that's when you have a bit of a copyright infringement, and there should be some punishment involved in that. And I think, I mean, back home, these kind of things have happened, and I think that's why there are so many laws in place, because there's a lot of people that will take an idea from someone else or flip a logo to make it look a little bit different from the original logo and try to capitalize on the original owner. So I think that if here in China, if there's a possibility that this could be implemented a little more, for example, convictions back home, you would suffer jail time and get some severe fines and possibly get a maximum penalty of $150,000 per instance. And this is from the copyright.org in the US. So a lot of people tend to think twice before stealing or taking someone's idea and duplicating it because of these punishments.
Yeah, I totally understand what you're talking about. But the thing about, give the certain product a geographic identity is like what He Yang has described.
Right.
If, let's say, both you and He Yang have the similar kind of way of producing something,
right,
but you apply for the GI already and I gave it to you. So I gave it to you because the product is good, but He Yang can produce the similar kind of product. So am I, in a way, depriving her right from, you know, selling her product using the so-called Shanxi or Beijing? Or am I protecting you because you come up with this idea or this brand first? And also in China, because this law and this kind of regulations are actually from France at the very beginning, it's the Paris Convention. It's called the Paris Convention. And China started to apply this because we feel the need to protect local brands as well. And actually, there are three administrations that has the right to issue similar kind of geographic identity or indications, you know, things related to geography, no, not really geography, to places. We have the Administration for Industry, Commerce, and also Quality Inspection Administration, and the Ministry of Agriculture. And even though they have talked to each other, but maybe not in a daily basis, so it is really hard for the whole system to get together to be very clear and very strict. And it's hard for the authority to really know if the product is really that worth protecting. And that is why the situation is very complicated.
Oh, yes. One after another of these really, it's a hot potato. And this is the classic example of different government agencies, a few of them getting involved in scrutiny and management. But in the end, because no individual department is solely responsible, it becomes the game of kicking ball. And yeah, and then it's the customers that suffer in the end. But Tony, I still don't entirely understand when these things are implemented in America. Let's say if not every company has established a name for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say New York, known for all kinds of pizzas.
Right.
And then the local specialty is New York pizza. But you have Mama's pizzas, Daddy's pizzas, John's, James, whatever.
Right.
And if there are questions of not living up to the standards of authentic New York pizza, or the living up to also sanitary standards and stuff, then how is that dealt with? Because it's not necessarily a copyright infringement issue. And have our attention by have our attention been misdirected that this is altogether a food safety and supervision issue, and it shouldn't even be a brand issue?
Well, there's a lot of questions there, and the only thing I can say about that is, in terms of a company creating a pizza company, and I've been to New York. There's lots of wonderful pizza places there, and they all have, honestly, they all have a similar taste. But I think what makes it a problem is when one company is doing better, significantly better than others, and other companies are trying to copy, and they change their marketing, they use some of the same words, they make some of the same claims, and that's when you run into a copyright issue. And I think that, you know, it's public domain in terms of when you can make a product that's similar to someone else's. It's when you try to duplicate that brand. And I think that that's really the issue in the United States in terms of violating certain trademarks and certain copyright laws. And that's when you can get into trouble. So it's a tough question to answer, actually.
Okay, I have another hopefully tough question for you guys, actually. So when we talk about local specialty, like 土特产 in Chinese, do you think that there should be special efforts that's devoted to the so-called protection? Or should we kind of just let them be and see survival of the fittest and what can come end up standing after this messy battle, so to speak? And one example comes to my mind, Kentucky Fried Chicken. When we talk about that, you're only thinking about, what's the Cardinal's surname? I can't remember.
Oh, Colonel Sanders.
Yes, Sanders. Why is it Sanders? Anyhow, so you have that image in your head of the grandpa figure. But he's also a card. Yeah, so those kind of things. So what do you think about this? Protection or not?
That's a good question. And I can draw from my personal experience as being an artist. And I feel that it's a bit related in this situation, in that when you are someone that produces a certain product and someone takes that idea and duplicates it and profits from it. And for myself, it would be a very frustrating experience. And that's one of the reasons why I took my arts website down, is because I don't have any of my work copyrighted, number one. Number two, I needed to make some changes to the site. But that was definitely something that my advisor told me, was you should probably take your work down until you get your stuff copyrighted, because it's a really big issue. And so on my end, from my perspective, I feel that there's definitely some protection that's needed.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I hope there can be stringent standards for certain product, because even though they might fit my personal flavor, I might not like it so much because I'm not from that place. Mm-hmm. But I still wanted to taste what the locals think is the best, taste the authentic. Because nowadays, with the internet going everywhere, you can easily get everything. And specialty is something you can only get from that place. And I would very much like that.
Oh, and you can also get that specialty probably authentic online.
Yes.
You're listening to Roundtable. We'll be back.